In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord of the Dance was, I suppose, the hymn of the decade for the 1970s, when it was said it featured in almost every time a church service was on the TV or the radio. And yet, when it first appeared in the mid-1960s, it was criticised. Some people thought it was unseemly to portray Jesus as dancing, just as Saul's daughter Michal thought it was unseemly for David to be dancing before the Ark of the Lord. In her opinion, it was too undignified for a king. David's people, though, had been dancing for hours before the Lord. David did not stand aloof from this, but was there rejoicing with his people. The Ark of the Lord had accompanied the Israelites during their wanderings in the desert. It was a visible sign that the Lord was with them in all the troubles and difficulties of that time. Then disaster strikes. The ark was captured by the Philistines, and the glory of the Lord departed from Israel. After many years, David regains possession of the ark, and now he is about to bring it to his newly captured capital at Jerusalem. The religious significance is clear. God is about to return to his people. At another level, David's leaping and dancing has the same significance. He is the king. He is also dressed in an ephod, the garment of a priest, the representative of the Lord. Priest and king, he is among his people, sharing their joy, as God himself has now come among his people and shares their lives. The ark was lost forever, many centuries after King David, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, not long after the crucifixion and the establishment of the Christian church. But even to this day, Jewish men dance before the scrolls of the Torah, the book of the law, which represents the Ark of the Lord. And our own gospel procession, not quite so energetic, is another version of this custom. And it too symbolizes God coming among his people. There are, however, two spectres at the feast. First, Herodias. Hear the dance, the girl's God-given grace and skill are misused and turned to evil purposes to gain power over Herod. The dance has become almost idolatry, where the created being is worshipped rather than the creator. John the Baptist speaks out against this and pays the price. But then, so does the Herod dynasty. Their immorality and cruelty destroy them in the end. As David himself says in the Psalms more than once, the unrighteous fall into their own trap. They are brought down by their own misdeeds. A lesson that is just as applicable today as it was then. The other fly in the ointment is Michal. By leaping and dancing around with everyone else, David has lost all dignity in her eyes and is making a fool of himself. She cannot see any point in all of this. Shouldn't the king be in his palace, ruling and governing, making himself useful? She embodies a rationalist, utilitarian mindset, unable to see the deeper symbolic significance of what is going on. She cannot enter into the joy of the people because she cannot see what is really happening, that God is entering among his people. And even if she could, perhaps she might ask, so what? Why should God do this? What is he going to get out of it? And as for the thought that God might come among his people as a poor carpenter, a wandering preacher, who would lose all his dignity on a cross. But that is what the Lord of the dance did. And his dance joyfully affirms life. Life more abundant. He invites us to risk our dignity and to join in the dance with him. I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the dance. And the dance goes on. Amen.